Welcome to the Teradome, baby.
We swarm.
Welcome to the Teradome.
We swarm. Let them know.
We swarm, baby.
We swarm, baby. All day long.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another week, another episode of Tales from the Teradome. If you're watching this on YouTube, this man to my right, you might have been like, I've seen this man before, because he was on Don V Fridays. He was on VT4L, and then he disappeared from the face of the earth, much like the Virginia Tech Hokies that we once knew and loved. They were gone. But he's back on the scene a little bit, at least tonight. We're hoping that the Hokies are also on that same path to whatever they're about to do. Hopefully they do it correctly. His name is Drift. He's in the building. How you doing, my man?
Dude, I'm doing well, man. It's good to be back on a podcast. Been a long time. I definitely just flew off the radar. But I've always enjoyed being on the podcast and following pretty closely with Virginia Tech. And so good to be back. Feels like home. Pumped to be here. I appreciate the invite to get on here, especially on a week like this where some real news. So it's going to be a fun one.
Well, you know, it felt like, you know, we were high on the – we kept hitting that hopium for years, hoping that it was going to change, and then eventually we OD'd on bad football. So I'm hoping what it follows is the Narcan shot to bring us back because, man – like, I couldn't believe – like, I went into the South Carolina game not knowing what to expect, and I left Atlanta feeling actually pretty good about what I'd seen for the most part besides losing. And then first half of Vanderbilt felt the same. Yeah. And then it was like the wheels fell off, like, complete, like, expeditiously, like, completely gone. And then it was like, ODU, dude, they just got wrecked. Like, the whole time. I've never seen quit like that before in my life.
Yeah, man. It's crazy because, like, South Carolina might just, like, not be as good as we thought they'd be, right? So, all of a sudden, that loss looks worse than what it did the night of that game. Vanderbilt might be decent-ish, but the loss to ODU is – I mean, we've been down that train before of losing to ODU in Old Dominion, which is – a little bit of a different story, but this feels like the nails in the coffin of modern Virginia Tech football, at least as we know it today. Just, and it has to be at the hands of ODU, which I think is pretty funny. Also, you know, like the connections with the coaches, with Brent Pry and everyone who's over there in Virginia Beach. So just a funny, kind of a funny way to end the story, you know? And so I'm curious to see where they go from here. And there's a lot of different directions, and I'm not sure that there's a lot of right directions to go. So we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the only right direction is to strip it down, like get rid of everybody from top to bottom in the building, go out, like get your money up, like bring that money in they've been asking for from the BOV. Hopefully, I feel like that's getting granted. I feel like we're going to get that money. Like, there's no way. I feel like their back's against the wall on that. So, like, if they don't do it, like, they look really bad. So, I feel like they're kind of forced to give it to us. Need the current handler of that to be finished as well, like I just alluded to. We need yeah, Wit out of here. And then you go find somebody that's so far removed from anything, Virginia Tech, just a straight-up winner. Bring them in. Let them get to it, give them the proper funds to get a proper staff, experienced coordinators, whatever they need. And it's time to stop being a mom and pop shop and become a corporation. Like Jeff Bezos had to leave the garage. It's time for us to leave the garage, you know?
Yeah. I mean, tough time to do it, but it's conference realignment time. It's NIL time. I mean, I think the right play is like, you got to get away from hiring like the VT guy. Like the dude is going to be here for his whole career and like, oh, he's from Virginia or he's from the Blue Ridge Mountains. He wants to be here. Family man. Like, dude, go get me somebody who's going to be here for 4 years and he's going to win every single year. He's going to leave. Fine. But when he leaves, the program's in a much better state. You know, I mean, you can't be you can't act like you're Alabama when you're finding a head coach when you're Virginia Tech. You know, I mean, maybe down the road as you build the program, but looking for the next, you know, Frank Beamer that's going to be here for his entire career, like they tried to do with Brent Pry, is just I don't think it's gonna give you the right pool of candidates that will actually be good.
Right. No, I agree with that. Like you said, give me a mercenary, man. Like somebody that's just gonna come in, like hit it hard, get his cred up, you know, build the program back, and then if another person comes calling, like a Florida or somebody, like, thanks. Like we'll be all right.
I mean, they have to figure out a way to be like, you're not a blue blood, but you can develop blue blood coaches, and then at a certain point, maybe you hit on one that stays. And so like, I think that's the formula. And also like, you can take that a step further into the player world too. Like, yeah, you develop draft players, but if you're consistently, if the kids you're losing are going to the SEC and the Big Ten, I think you're doing a good job. If the kids you're losing are going to the Mountain West and the Sun Belt, you're probably not doing a great job, you know? So I think development as a program, it has to be something that they lean into. Like, they can't go at it with the attitude of like, we're going to get 5 stars and they're going to stay with us the entire time. Like, it's just not going to happen in modern football. Like, you're going to lose guys like Delane. It's just going to happen. You have to be able to be good enough to find the next one.
Yeah. Like, if we're good enough and have enough money to where like those type of players, we can offer like a competitive counter to whatever the other schools are offering, and they like strongly consider it, and maybe they stay, maybe they don't. Cool. Like, well, we got, like, we should have next man up, like, just like a master motivator developer type.
Yeah.
But right now we need a guy to come in, because he's going to have to come in. We're going to need that salesman, that guy that's going to bring kids with him, and he's going to be able to recruit fast and convince people to come. Because – and you're probably going to have to do the Jacksonville Jaguar things where you overpay free agents for a while because just the extra incentive to come to your program. But hopefully we get to a point where, you know, the Mahools of the world, their donations are added bonuses and very thankful for, more so than a dire need. You know what I'm saying? Like, we need you to give us this much money for us to be able to survive. No, 100%. We need extra $2 million to keep this kid. What do you think? All right, cool. Bet. Like, you know what I'm saying? Versus like, brother, save us.
I mean, I think Pry definitely proved that you could bring talent to Blacksburg to compete. Like, I think the team has talent. I think the team this year, I think the team last year, had the talent to be in the upper echelon of the ACC, which is pretty much all I expect as of right now with the way college football is, and it, as it should be. Like, the next coach should be able to come in here, and with the money that that Virginia Tech is investing into football, they should be a top 5, top 6 program in the ACC year after year. I mean, that should be automatic. You know, I mean, yeah, you need more money if you want to compete with Clemson and FSU on a year-to-year basis, but I mean, we should be with what we're putting in right now, much better, significantly better than where we're at, you know, versus a lot of the ACC teams, let alone ODU and, you know, and some of those teams. So, a lot of work to do.
Money didn't lose us Vanderbilt or Rutgers or Marshall ODU twice like that was just, you could have beat them with $0. Like, we spend more money than they do. So,
I mean, on paper, like, I feel like we have the talent to beat them. And even if you lose, like, you shouldn't be getting – it shouldn't be the way that we're losing, you know, too. That's pretty inexcusable. So, hopefully they go out and – like, man, Luke Fickell. Like, give me a – like, I'd be down for a bounce back guy, too. Like, you give me, like I'm cool with Billy Napier. I'm cool with Luke Fickell. Like, give me a guy that his expectations, his job was too much – for a big, big school like a blue blood drops down to Virginia Tech, revitalize his career. See you later. Go to Bama in 6 years. You know, like, cool with that. You know, we would have loved Luke Fickell 4 years ago. You know, he's gonna be available. So,
yeah, they are probably gonna get rid of him, huh?
Yeah, I don't think Wisconsin fans are too happy right now. They weren't very happy last year, and I don't think it's getting much better. So,
my thing with Billy Napier is he had so much money and so many resources. Like, how did that not work?
Playing in the
SEC. I'm wondering if Florida, they've had an issue like this for a while, though. Like, I wonder if there's just too many people that are donating money that are trying to keep their hand in the cookie jar and just, like, trying to decide everything, and it's just, like, messing up the mojo now. I don't know. Like, Urban Meyer was a big enough name and big enough asshole to make probably keep people out, but, like, I think people might just have, like, their ideas of what the program should look like. And it might be messing up what they're doing down there. I don't know. But that's
– I would
– Yeah, DJ Lagway looks like shit. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I definitely bet that's the case because, I mean, you know, there's no doubt that, like, Billy Napier is a good football coach. He's put enough stuff on the field in past stops. Like, that's not the issue. So, it's definitely – it's a culture problem. And, yeah, that falls on the head coach. But sometimes – you know, that sometimes the job is bigger than you, and it's hard to rise to the occasion when you have too many bosses.
No, that's 1,000% true. I mean, also, like, I don't really want to go G6 route again. I know everyone likes that Memphis coach. I know it's irrational, but, like, that gives me PTSD. But, like, Stumroll, obviously, I think is going to be everyone's top choice. From Tulane, just because he wins, and then Galesh down at USF? He's going to be a top name for a lot of people too. He came from Tennessee, and I pretty much take anybody—well, not anybody, but like somebody from that tree, like athletic director wise or coach wise, as far as like coordinators go under Heupel, because you know Galesh was there or whatever with Hendon and the resurgence to Tennessee, and then the current OC they have obviously is like his top confidant that he's had since like 09. Yeah. And then Tim Banks, we wanted as our DC and we just didn't have the money. But so I don't know. Like if you can get like an AD head coach combo to come in, that would be cool because it would save you so much time. But I just have no idea what it's going to look like until they get rid of everyone and start anew. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and hopefully they go that route. I mean, it'd be pretty tough if they just let Witt take a stab at the next guy. But I'm with you on the G5 stuff. Like, I think it's not – like, coaching is not always a linear path to success. You know, just because there's a coach that gets fired from an SEC or Big 12 program that struggled, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that's a bad coach. You know, they could just be their situation could be what it is, you know. And so I think those names are hot names that you listed. You know, I think a lot of schools are probably going to be going after some of those dudes. So
absolutely.
I mean, if that's why I say the process has got to be different. Like if you're Virginia Tech and you're going out there being like, oh, we're going to take a stab at all the hottest G5 names that every school wants that's looking for a head coach. I mean, you're going to be behind the eight ball right on that. So I want to see them take a different approach. Do something that's not Virginia Tech to do. You know, take a risk, take a flyer, change it up. You know, you're only going to keep getting the same results if you have the same process.
No, I agree. I think they got to come with that money and put it on the table and be like, take somebody. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't just go hire somebody. Like, take somebody.
Yeah.
The Michael Vick thing's been getting floated around, and like I love Michael Vick, but I'm completely out on this thing. Like, do not do this because one, we're not in a position to take that kind of risk. Like, it would ruin us if it didn't work, and it would ruin him. And I'm not down to hear anybody talking crazy about our GOAT. Like, I don't want his legacy at Virginia Tech to be ruined because he came back and tried to save the program before we even know if he was ready or we were ready. Like, it's just a bad idea.
My buddy texted me about Vic too. It was like, he's a Michigan fan. He was like, yo, you guys should sign Vic as head coach. And I was like, I don't know, man. I mean, honestly, like, I wouldn't hate it, but I don't think it'd be a good hire. But it'd be different. I mean, it'd be fun. I mean, we're already bad. It can't really get any worse. I mean, it would suck for his reputation as a coach if they're terrible, which they probably will be. But maybe he's a dog. I don't know. I haven't seen him in the coaching room. He's definitely got respect, and he's definitely got the street cred, and he can definitely recruit. I mean, you got to be able to do those things if you're Michael Vick. But who knows, man? Maybe he can hire some good coordinators. Just be a figurehead.
Yeah, you got the budget. You can – like, that's also another thing. Like, we got to up the money so we're not having 8-week coach searches for coordinators because 10 people turned us down because it wasn't enough. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, but to me, honestly, that's more of a who's your network problem. Like, I feel like Brent Pry didn't have, since he was a first time head coach, he doesn't really have the expanded network to bring in all these different coaches that a typical journeyman head coach or up and coming head coach would have. You know what I mean? Like, if we hired Penn State's head coach, he probably would have brought Penn State coaches with him. We didn't get any Penn State coaches with their defensive coordinator, you know, for obvious reasons. So I think you want the guy that brings all of his buddies with him, because I feel like that's typically a sign of a good coach. You know, you should have the network to go bring your dudes with you. And then you don't have to go on an 8-week search because you got 10 guys on speed dial. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm also down. I would be down to try. I mean, Dan Mullen scares me a little bit because his shortcomings at Florida were kind of the same as Pry's, like game mismanagement and like just like close losses. And then like Gus Malzahn, like nobody's really talking about him, but like he did things with dual threat quarterbacks. Like it's kind of Tech's thing. Like, I know we're not really trying to, but to revisit like Tech's thing, but I feel like in the modern age, even pocket passers are mobile, so like
yeah for sure. I think Gus
would be cool. Down to try it. Yeah, I would be down to give it a shot. I don't know where they want to go. Like, it's all word vomit at this point, and just like everybody's just content chasing, which is fine, because I was nervous about how the hell we're getting through this season, and then they gave us a gift by now we're gonna have potential AD search, we're gonna have potential coach search, like we got an interim coach. Like, we're going to have to see how this team responds. Like, obviously, it should look good against Wofford. If not, I'm very scared. But, like, I don't know. Like, does Drones keep his job? Does Drones get benched? Like, should he get benched? Probably. I thought Pry should have benched him against ODU. I was like, especially when they went up so big, I was like, it's obviously over. Like, are you just at this point, like, sinking with the ship? Like,
I thought he looked bad. You know, week one, I thought he looked bad last year. But also, I don't think we have anyone that can develop quarterbacks. So I think that's part of it, too. Like, he's the same player he was when he walked in the door, you know, however many years ago, which has been a constant theme for Virginia Tech. It's like guys, not a lot of guys get better when they come here, you know, which definitely needs to change. You know, I think the guys that have been the best that we put in the NFL typically in the most recent years have been transfers that come in and pop off, you know.
Yeah.
So like Tootin and Lane in most recent years, but we definitely got to get back on like the development train where it's like you're seeing guys go to the NFL again, you're taking dudes from high school and getting them drafted, you know, like that's what you got to see, not this, you know, ever evolving door of guys going in and out.
Yeah, who's the last guy we put in the league that was like truly homegrown, developed at Virginia Tech's Dorian Strong, like this past year? And he's starting for the Bills right now due to injuries, and he's playing pretty well. I don't know what he did yesterday, but I imagine it was good because they beat the brakes off of the Jets. I think that's who they played, or whoever they played. But
yeah, it was the Jets. Like,
So like Dorian, like, but he came in like he was kind of the truth when he came in, and then everyone kind of like shit on him because he was wearing 44 and like, you heard all the rumors like, oh, he can't put his weight room numbers up. Yeah. He can't put his weight room numbers up. But Dorian was great. I mean, Mansoor looks like the Mansoor that we were supposed to have. Like, that is who – the Mansoor at LSU is the Mansoor that we were supposed to have at Virginia Tech, and I really think it's because he has no choice. They're like, he has to be a dog, whereas he was already the best in the room at Virginia Tech, so there was really no threat of losing his job, no threat of, like, mm-hmm. somebody, like, you know, of anybody overtaking him, which I think is also, like, against Vanderbilt last year, he should have been benched to get some fear put into him, as far as, like, nothing motivates you more than the thought of losing your position. So, like, I thought he should have been benched when they were just teeing off on him, but he's killing it now. So, but
yeah, I mean, schematically, he's got way more athletes around him, you know. So I think that makes him like he's gonna look good when there's other people around that are also good. You know, I think that definitely mm-hmm. helps his case out. He's always been a dog. He'll be an NFL player for sure. Sucks we couldn't keep him, but. At least, like I said before, if you're losing, if those are the types of guys that you're losing when you do lose them, because it's the transfer portal, it's going to happen, like, mm-hmm. make it be the SEC and the Big Ten. Like, you shouldn't have a starter that's leaving. If you have a starter that leaves Virginia Tech, they should go to one of those two conferences. And if they don't, then you have a problem.
Yeah, like, oh, damn, they paid him $4 million. We can't do that.
Okay.
You know, like, yeah. Fine. Yeah. I get it. It's going to be interesting because, you know, I would like to talk about the ODU game, but there really isn't shit. Like, we just got spanked. Like, they out-schemed us, which is a problem. Like, I was talking to Marcus Vick the other day, and he was like – or after the game, and he was like, this never would have happened. And I was like, no, you guys would have put, like, 60 on them. Like, those old – like, you used to be, like, if you played – a school mm-hmm. of that level, like, you were dogging them. And now it's like they kind of eat our lunch, and that's sad.
Yeah, I mean, Michigan played Central Michigan over the weekend, which is my alma mater, and beat them 63-3, you know. So,
yeah.
That's what Bryce it should Underwood. Look like. Yeah, the Bryce Underwood effect.
Talk about return on investment, though. Like, they must be happy because they're getting it.
Yeah, I mean, didn't get it against Oklahoma week one, but
no, he didn't.
He'll be good. They'll be a solid. They'll be back. I just don't know. I don't know if Sherman Moore is really their long term answer at head coach, but
not at all.
He can recruit, which is good.
I think he was the guy they plugged in. Like, if we get hit with these infractions, that
mm-hmm.
it won't be hard to cut bait on that and go find the next guy. But
yeah.
I mean, they seem to have a pretty solid – I mean, they got money, so, like, they can just spend. Yeah, but
largest endowment, I think, in the U.S., University of Michigan. They have, like, $12 billion they're sitting on. Yeah, they're made of money. I mean, they're absolutely made of money.
That's another thing, if you can get the money up at Tech, that makes it, like, attractive is they're not in debt. Like, UCLA is, like, $200 million in debt. Like, there's all these schools that have, like, hundreds of millions of dollars in debt, but Virginia Tech doesn't have any, which they should because,
yeah,
I mean, you got to spend money to make money. But, like, at the same time, like, if you could be an AD to come into a $200 million budget, no debt, you get to pick, build out your whole shit, like, I feel like it's a better job than people think it is at this point.
I think it's a great job. I mean, I wouldn't say it's anything otherwise. I mean, not only can you do that, but if you like, the way I would look at it, if I was an AD, is it's a school that has had prior success. They're in a power conference. They're not in the power two, but it's up there, and we're smack dab in the middle of conference realignment. So if you come in as an AD, as an up and coming athletic director, and you take a power four team and turn them and take them through conference realignment in the NIL structure that we currently have, you're going to get an unreal job when that's all said and done. And so I think it's like, I would look at it as like a fast track to a career, you know, like, come here, do your time. And when you leave, you know, you can get a job at any school in the country if you do it the right way, which, I mean, it's got everything you need to do it the right way.
No, that's facts. How you feel about the John Gruden rumblings?
Are they saying that they want Virginia Tech to hire him?
Well, John Gruden put a TikTok video out like probably a year ago or something. It resurfaced where he was like, if Virginia Tech needs me, they know where to find me. Just give me a call. Like, he's trying to get back into coaching, I guess. I'm not really, like, I wouldn't hate it necessarily, but I don't think it's really what we should do.
I mean, I don't think they have the balls to do it. But if they did it, I would respect it.
Yeah, I mean, it would be definitely a clout hire for sure. But
yeah, it'd be fun. Like, I mean, it would modernize the program in a way. You'd be all over Instagram Reels every week with John Gruden saying some dumb stuff, you know. But
it'd be the Belichick effect without Jordan. Yeah,
I think he'd be better than Belichick.
I do too.
I think Belichick is. I don't know what he's doing. He's. I think he thinks he's on vacation. But I think Gruden. I think Gruden would actually be pretty solid.
He'd be like the sleep in the office type of guy. Like Harbaugh was when he got to the Niners.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Gruden needs his get back. If he wants to come to Virginia Tech to get it, all right, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, lay off the emails, brother. And, I mean, if he can convince a massive portal class to come in to replace what we're inevitably going to lose, then yes. But if not, you need to bring a college coach in that's going to have a slew of kids he's ready to bring with him to help supplement and like soften the blow of what's going to happen in January when that thing opens.
Oh yeah. I mean, I also don't think he's going to like, he wouldn't want to ruin his own reputation. So I think if he were to take a job, I think he would take it with the confidence that he could turn it around.
He certainly has a network for coaching hires. Yeah, I mean, like staff build out.
He could build out a staff yesterday if he wanted to.
Yeah. And I hope he brings his assistant, Jake Malisek, with him.
Yeah, I mean, he could connect us with the whole Barstool crew.
Yeah.
And we already got a bunch of New York kids that go to the school, so there you go.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I guess the portal officially opened today for people at Virginia Tech if they want to leave. Only Dante Lovett has taken them up on that offer so far. So I'm hoping that the damage is minimal. I think it also helps that the NIL house settlement thing are monthly payments. And if you enter the portal, your payments are void at that point. Like, they'd stop. Mm-hmm. So I feel like kids are like, I might as well get some film and keep my money and let's enter in January, which is fine. I would rather be able to field a team for the year.
Yeah.
And just ride it out and see what happens. I mean, maybe Monty can string some. I don't think he's going to string anything together, but maybe. I didn't think we were going to get smacked by ODU, so
crazier here we are. Crazier things have happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a different level of discipline. Maybe it's a different philosophy. Maybe he makes a quarterback change. Like, maybe, I don't know, mm-hmm. maybe incorporate a slant or a drag route when you're getting your ass blitzed 8 million times a game. Like, maybe do something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not an expert, but holy shit, man. Like, no short, no blitz beaters, no nothing. Like, I was just like, the O-line's bad, yes, but Kyron still has 2 seconds, 2.5 seconds to get the ball out, which is a normal amount of time. Like, he's just not.
And Drones is not a very, like, poised quarterback under pressure. I feel like he just, like, shits his pants every time he's under pressure. So that definitely doesn't help.
Yeah, no, it's definitely tough times in Blacksburg, Virginia, man. I'm hoping we get it turned around.
Hey man, I guess we're at the bottom of the valley. It's only up from here.
Yeah. Sean Glennon dunked on us on Saturday night. He said under rock bottom is a layer of hokey stone. He tweeted that. So that was fun. But, the whole world was just shitting on us. And I was like, man, and now we're like the first, like, vacancy besides UCLA. So all the talking heads that know nothing are just saying stuff. It's going to be interesting times for us.
Yeah. Speaking of talking heads, that's probably the biggest reason I got off Twitter entirely. I just feel like the internet sports world in general is just horrendous. I mean, if your team is not winning the national championship or the Super Bowl, I mean, it's just it's an everyday constant series of bad takes. And so now I just get all my information off The Athletic, which is what I primarily use, and then I'll scroll through Instagram from time to time, get stuff from there. But yeah, I was tired of the Twitter warriors, you know, in the talking heads, yeah. ESPN clips getting on there. Like, I just wasn't learning anything about the sport. It's just a constant circle jerk of, well, yeah, people that are not in tune with the actual program, like you said, bad takes.
Yeah, it's either your generation or your ass.
Yeah.
Or, like, they're comparing you to, like, oh, man, this person had a 28-point game. Are they LeBron James? Like, no.
Yeah.
Just stop. I get it. And you're coaching football now, right?
Is that what you're doing? Yeah. Yeah. I started.
What's your position?
Outside linebackers. Yeah. So
high school ball.
Yeah, man. High school ball. We are 3-1 right now. So good year. Last year I was out of school. We went 0-10. So that was pretty tough. Rough year. And then I left that school, and the school I'm at now is really good. So very fortunate to be there, and a lot of good coaches on the staff. So it's been, I mean, my group, I'll usually in our base scheme have one kid on the field as a strong side backer. This week I have two. Last week I also had two. But it varies. But it's great. I literally have to focus on one kid at a time typically, and just coach him up that way. So it's been a great experience.
Yeah, man. It's kind of like, that's, how do you find that, by the way? Like, you just, was it like a Craigslist ad or Facebook or what?
My girlfriend's dad, he coached for like 20 years, up the road in Dayton. And one of the kids that he coached, was the head coach of the school that I was at last year. And so that's how I got that connection. And then, I knew somebody at work that her kids went to the school that I'm at now. And so when I left that one, I was like, I messaged her and I'm like, hey, do they need any help there? You know, I'm good with unpaid, whatever. And she was like, yeah. So hooked me up with the coach, interviewed, and they found a spot for me. So, you know, it's funny. I feel like it feels like when I was getting into coaching, it felt like, how do I even start here? And you quickly find out that, like, every high school program desperately needs help in some sort of way. I mean, there's just not enough people doing it because there's no money in it for obvious reasons. But if you want to coach high school football, I don't think it's hard to find a program that needs some help, at least to get you started. And then obviously once you get your feet underneath you and get some years on your resume, you can, all right, let me go be a defensive coordinator or offensive coordinator somewhere, you know. But you can definitely coach a position group pretty easily with, you know, just making sure you build some sort of network and do your homework.
Are we getting coordinator drift in a couple of years? Is that what I'm hearing?
I mean, I don't know if I can handle it with, like, the coordinators that are at the school that I'm at right now. Like, it's their full-time job. Like, that's what that's their career. I'm not, like, this is not my career. I do it on the side for fun. So I don't know if I could swing that with the current job, but I mean, if I could, I would. Just probably not in the cards. But I think where I'm at now is as an assistant coach and have a little group is plenty. It's fun to be out there on Friday nights, and it gives me something to like fixate on rather than watching my college team or NFL team suck.
Yeah, Joe Burr, he's gone for a couple weeks. So no, the Broncos get a Joe Burrow-less fucking matchup. Yeah.
Monday Night Football. Week. Jake Browning. Trap game.
Yeah. No, I mean, shoot. I was so mad when we lost yesterday after Saturday, and then the undisciplined crap I saw yesterday. I was just like, I can't do this. I can't do it this weekend.
Some dude put in one of my group chats. We have like a bozo bet group chat where like it's 10 guys. Everyone throws a bet in and then we build a parlay, and then the bet that breaks the parlay, that guy has to place the next one. So it's like a constant cycle of like, you're putting parlays down. If it ever hits, everyone splits the winnings. But one kid yesterday threw in Colts minus 2.5. And I was like, when he sent that in, I'm like, yeah, right. Like, they're getting smoked by the Broncos. I was pretty shocked that the Colts won that game.
Me too. It's just kind of like, you were talking about coaching linebackers. Brent Pry was a linebacker guy, and we didn't have good linebacker play the whole damn time he was here. Like, it was just mind-boggling to me just how bad our linebacker room was, like, the whole time he was our coach.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think that's probably one of the most shocking aspects of it. But also, you know, if you take Micah Parsons, like, out of the equation, like, is there really that many disciples that he created at Penn State?
Not that I can name.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I – linebacker guy, and, like, if you – it's like, dude, anyone could have coached Micah Parsons, you know. Like, I could have coached Micah Parsons. Go on the field
and
do a good job. You know, great. He's going to be an NFL player regardless. So – yeah, I don't know who really gets the credit for making Micah Parsons. I would probably say his parents in his high school or JV or freshman coach that had him when he was really young. But when you get up to that college level, like, if you're a dude, you're gonna be a dude by yourself. You know what I mean?
So yep. I agree. Yeah, man, it was very obvious, like, it needed to end. ODU obviously put a stamp on that, but like, you know, everyone, like, there's always the jokes, like, Dan's drinking buddies, like, you know, because I would always see him out or whatever if I was down there. But, like, I understand wins and losses rule everything, and if you're not punching it in on Saturday, man, like, you got to go. So it was very obvious, like, and I know, like, a bit of me is sad because, for the reason that he came in, you know, everybody wanted it to work. He was very, accessible as far as letting, like, he was very good with the podcast. Like, Tales from the Terradome doesn't reach where it is without his willingness to let podcasts have access to coaches and players and Cheetah helping and Fontel helping. Like, this staff, like, really did help me a good bit with getting guests and getting content, and I'll forever be thankful for that. But at the same time, like, if I see them outside, I'll give them a dap, like, I'll drink a beer, like, I'll do whatever, but I need my football team to win games, and if you're not doing that, then it's business, buddy. Like, I'm done. Like, you got to go. We need a new staff, and that's what's going to happen. And I'm happy for that. And that's kind of where I'm at with it. Like, people were like, oh, man. I was like, I mean, I hope the new dude comes in and, like, lets everybody still access players and coaches and get interviews. But if he shuts it all down and he's winning 9 to 10 games, I don't care. Because I'll have plenty of content to talk about because they're winning games. Yeah, so,
you have plenty of content, too, and they're – when they're bad and they're firing their coaches and all that too.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're good dudes. I mean, I agree. I wanted them to succeed. I mean, they were cool. They were out in the community and, you know, nice to everyone and wanted to be, like, they had the right intentions. They weren't the right guys for the problem, you know? So
yeah, it's a shame. Like, I think, like, if Justin Fuente came back to Blacksburg, I don't think anybody would be excited to see him, but I think, like, if Brent Pry, I think Brent Pry and them are good in the community. They just weren't good on the field, you know. So, like, they could be, like, they could hang out around and, like, still live there or whatever if they wanted to, or have a house there, and, like, nobody would, like, heckle them, I don't think. Whereas, I mean, at least they have that, but, like, it's time, like, whatever. It's time to get somebody new. It's time to get a whole new regime, a new everything, and just, like, get to it, because we are coming into a crucial time in college football when the other two powerhouse conferences are going to start looking to to pick the best of the best that are left, and we don't want, you don't want to be left out.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I totally agree with you. I think it's going to be super interesting to see what they end up doing. I really want, I don't know if you ever, like, are you, have you followed much like international soccer ever at all?
I'll do like World Cup, or like, I'm actually in a soccer group chat now with like Ricky and Steven and them, so, and Kyle. So I learn a little, dude, a little bit.
I'm telling you, that soccer has figured it out. They have, like, when they trade players, or like when a club buys a player from another club, like the club gets a portion of the fee, right? So like, if you, if you spawn LeBron James at whatever school you're at, and you obviously have to sell them to a much better team, like, you get a cut for like developing that talent. So I think their structure in international soccer is like what college football needs to adopt, because it's like, you got to figure out a way to incentivize the other schools to like develop talent. And if you're Virginia Tech, you're going to have to figure out, okay, maybe we develop this dude and he leaves. Well, now we're shit out of luck. But if you have some sort of system where when you develop him and he has to leave for much more money, at least you can get something back for it. You know what I mean? Like, at least you can get some money back from it and recycle that in and use it to find the next one. Like, I think that's what college football is missing. You know, I think we'll get there eventually, but right now it's like, dude, the MAC, like, you think we're in trouble? The MAC schools are in big time trouble. Mountain West schools, FCS schools, like, if you're not making money the way that you think you should be from football, I mean, those schools right now are getting nothing, and their mm-hmm. coaches are recruiting even more around the clock than a school like Virginia Tech. So the whole system needs a revamp, and hopefully we can figure out a way to be on the right side of it.
Speaking of the MAC, Ohio, they held it together a little bit versus Ohio State. They only gave up, what, like 38 points?
Dude, and they beat West Virginia the week before.
Yeah. Also, how the hell did Toledo hold on to Quinyon Mitchell? Like, that's crazy that he didn't get poached.
Toledo has been a powerhouse in the MAC for a long time. They have a sneaky
program. Yeah, they're good.
Yeah.
Marshall was a MAC school back in the day.
Dude, shout out Mark. Were you there when they were MAC school?
No, hell no. They were Conference USA.
Okay. Yeah, MAC.
Yeah.
Good old Tuesday night football. There's nothing better. There's nothing grittier than that.
I love MAC-tion.
Oh, man. I remember leaving class at like 5 o'clock on a Tuesday night, heading to the lots, tailgating for like 2 hours, and then you're sitting there and it's 28 degrees, snowing, and you're like, what am I doing here on a Tuesday night watching Central Michigan play North or Eastern Michigan or whoever from the MAC? So yeah, MAC football's not for the faint of heart.
Not at all. Drift, man, I appreciate you taking the time to come on here out of retirement, talk to the people, you know, let them know what you've been up to, because, you know, you were active for a long time, and then you just, like, were like, bro, I can't do this anymore, and yeah. I respect it. So you were like, I'm just going to focus on being a season ticket holder for the Bengals and my work and coaching football.
Yeah, that shift the priorities, but, yeah, it was good to be back, man. I appreciate you having me on. Anytime. Yeah. I'll be willing to jump on here. So definitely good to talk, and, you know, shout out to everybody else, especially those of you that I knew from the Twitter sphere, if you're listening. So I miss all you guys interacting on a day-to-day basis, but the rest of the Twitter sphere, I don't think I can handle that. So.
Yeah, dude, absolutely, man. And as always, dude, go Hokies.
Absolutely, bro. Go Hokies. Got to get it back.